This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Picking off hour two of Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us, SiriusXM Channel 158, alongside the man, the myth, the legend, Keith Irizarry, out on the East Coast. Stormy Bonantoni with you, holding it down. One more hour to go here on the program. Remember, if you missed any of the first hour of the show, you can always download and subscribe to Money Moves in podcast form. We've got a full breakdown of the KD trade. Of course, all things Game 7 in the NBA with the Oklahoma City Thunder winning it all and a plus 240 favorite to go back-to-back next year. But Keith, something we didn't have an opportunity to touch on much just yet was the College World Series and LSU winning their second title in just 3 years. They closed it out yesterday against Coastal 5-3. But more of the story is actually coming in the first inning of this game. Remember, this is a winner-go-home championship game yesterday. Coastal head coach Kevin Schnall is ejected, as was the team's first base coach, and in pretty weak fashion. We've got the sound for you here. We have to play it. Here is a very frustrated Kevin Schnall postgame.
So at that point, I can now hear him say, it was a warning issued for arguing balls and strikes. And at that point, I said, because you missed three. At that point, ejected. If that warrants an ejection, I'm the first one to stand here like a man and apologize. If you guys watched the video, there was a guy that came in extremely aggressively, tripped over Campos's foot, embarrassed in front of 25,000, immediately goes 2-game suspension and said, bumping the umpire. There was no bump. He was embarrassed. I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism.
That's a hell of a line there at the end. You've watched a lot of baseball though, Keith.
Yes.
When somebody gets thrown out and they're not MFing and screaming and doing XYZ, how do you react to it? Because I understand the frustration here from Coach Schnall.
So I don't think I'm going to give you the answer you want.
Okay.
So in NCAA baseball, there is a rule that you are not allowed as a coach to argue about balls and strikes and say it like repetitively. If you do, you get a warning and then an ejection. So I think where the issue became is that Coach Schnall apparently didn't hear the warning and then proceeded to like talk about this. So that's where the umpire needs to have some sort of like mental fortitude up here where he says, like, have a knowing of what the situation is. Like, you're in a do or die game. This yes. Coastal Carolina team goes home if they don't win. I feel like the umpire should have said more calmly, I already gave you a warning. And then when Schnall answers back, I feel like he should have given him a second warning. Now, the problem is the way he answered back was snarky, right? He did. He's like, oh, because you already missed two or three. Like, so there's something missing there. By the letter of the law, the umpire didn't do anything wrong.
So where I'm coming from, at least hearing from Schnall afterwards, was that he heard, okay, there's a warning, but he didn't know what for. So that's why he stepped out a little bit of the dugout to say, what's the warning for? And the ump kind of like waved him off. He's like, what's the warning for? And then he finally says, he goes, oh, because you missed three pitches. All right. He said it twice. But so I feel for him. I feel for the ejection and being penalized for another official falling when he didn't bump him, when that wasn't the reality of the situation. And this isn't to say that the outcome would have been any different, right? We don't know. LSU was still the favorite to win it all. They win this thing 5-3. But it does put you back not having your head coach and your first base coach in a game of this magnitude. So I really, really felt for Coastal in the moment. They drop back-to-back games, swept in the College World Series. Congrats to LSU. And again, we don't know if the outcome would have been any different. But I really felt for the way they started this game.
I just also wish that umpires and referees and all of the such would stop making things about them sometimes.
Yes.
Like this was an easy moment for this. I mean, all right. So I guess We don't know. Maybe Coach Schnall is like a guy that always yells at umpires. I don't know. I can't actually say either way. But I feel like if you're the umpire, you can't have rabbit ears for this. You have to be able to turn cheek. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm around AAU basketball all the time. And like every one of my weekends is spent on AAU basketball courts, and you get some good refs and you get some bad ones. The worst ones are when they make it about themselves and they talk back to these 13 and 14 year old kids and they give texts for nothing, or that they yell at a coach, or that they talk back to parents. Like, stay within that rectangle and do your job. And for an umpire, stay on your field, and you have to be able to push things away. Because unless Schnall said, like, curse words and I'm going to kill you, like, is that really worth ejections? Yeah. I there's got to be a way to fix that. There has to be a calmer, cooler head prevailing.
Yeah, you would hope so. Again, LSU, congratulations to them winning the College World Series two of the last 3 years, and head coach Jay Johnson, now the fastest head coach in men's college baseball history to get to two titles that quickly. They won in 2023, his second year on the job. They win the College World Series, and they also win the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge. 52,390, the final tally out there in Omaha. And thank you again to Rocco's and the amazing hospitality that VSiN had while we were out there this past week. Let's stick with baseball, but get to MLB. We will have some best bets at the end of the program. VSiN contributor Josh Applebaum is going to join us in about 25 minutes as well. And while we've got best bets, ProfitX offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX, a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. The first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the sports books. Exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds in some cases. Download ProfitX today. Use our code VSiN, V-S-I-N, and earn up to 200 profit cash over your first month. A handful of games for us to get into, Keith, but I will defer to you as you went through the board here. What was a game or a prop that immediately caught your eye as you were going through?
So I'll do chronologically for us here. I'll just go Rangers and the Orioles, and two teams that are interesting, right? Not living up to the expectations. So how do you find your angle? Well, I don't necessarily believe in Patrick Corbin, even though he's actually been decent this year. Trevor Rogers is nothing special either. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go Adolis Garcia. We're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, very manageable at minus 120. Rogers coming off a bad start, just 2 1/3, 3 earned, 5 hits. Adolis Garcia has seen Rogers 6 times. He has a home run, has a double off of him. And for Garcia, while his year has kind of been up and down as well, he's been hitting pretty well as of late. So over his last 8 games, he has topped this hits, run, RBI prop, 5 of those 8 games, and he's done it in back-to-back games. And again, something I routinely bring up, if you're going to play a hits, runs, RBI prop, the reason why I personally love this is because Garcia can walk and score, and he can get a sac fly, which leads to RBI, and literally have no hits on the day, and you still hit your prop.
I love that angle. And I'm curious, hopefully we both can win, because I actually ended up playing the under 9.5 in this game.
Okay.
Just thinking about two bad offenses and pitchers that should be capable enough. Like Corbin, yeah, he's given up 2-3 runs a game, but he doesn't really go over that. His last start against Kansas City is the only game all season he's given up more than 3 runs. And Rogers, just 2 starts this year for the Orioles, he's pulled after 2 1/3 after one, but 6 1/3 shutout innings against the Red Sox also. Like, 9.5 with that number being as high as it is and these offenses being as rough as they are, let's get Adolis Garcia through and the under for the full game. What do you say?
I don't love it.
I can't do it.
I mean, Baltimore's ERA is bad.
I'm rooting for you. That was the one thing that threw me off, but still, like, but they're so bad offensively. Bottom 7 in scoring, bottom 8 in average,
yeah.
bottom 10 in OPS. Like, Rangers have the 3rd worst OPS in the sport and are one of the best under teams on the entire year. I don't know. Just it's a baby bet. It's a baby bet, okay?
You can sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. Yes, you can.
I know you have another angle as well here in Braves Mets. Braves opened around minus 125, played out to a consensus minus 145 right now. So they are getting played. Run total in this one, 8.5. What were you looking at?
I originally was looking at Spencer Schwellenbach as someone that I wanted to target. None of the props jumped out to me. I didn't like any of the prices. I didn't like any of the numbers. But I would tell everybody out there, if you do, he's the play of those two pitchers. I'm not in on Paul Blackburn. With that being said, the reason I tell you I don't like the Paul Blackburn one is because I like some of the hitters. So Austin Riley is where I'm going to land. The total base prop gets you plus money. Play it if you want the plus money. If you're trying to build bankroll and maybe you're trying to parlay some of this stuff together, you know, or just have little small bets to build off of, we're going to go Austin Riley also with the hits, runs, RBIs prop, minus 135. For Riley, he's been on base a lot as of late, four-game hitting streak, so we like that. Against Blackburn, it's not like it's this big, long list of at-bats, but 2-for-3, 2 singles. I'll throw in the walk there again to bring back the hits, runs, RBIs prop thing, because if he walks, he gets on base, boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Also, he's topped this prop 4 consecutive games and in 8 of his last 10 games. Riley starting to hit. I also think the Braves are going to end up winning tonight, but I won't play that one.
Yeah, to your point about Blackburn, for anybody who didn't know, he missed a bunch of time. He had to have surgery on his back for, like, spinal leakage, and then he started this season with a knee issue. I apparently just faded him in the one wrong game because his first start against the Dodgers, that's when I was like, okay, let's go anti-Blackburn. He ends up being awesome. Since then, however, 9 earned runs in just 8 innings over his last 3 starts. So I just picked the wrong one. Classic me, but I'm with you here.
It happens.
I like Atlanta in the game. I understand the line move. Maybe even Atlanta F5 could be in play, but Austin Riley, again, the play here from Keith, over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI. We will have more best bets later on in the hour. Again, Josh Applebaum going to give us some market insights in Major League Baseball coming up in a bit, but when we come back, shifting gears to the NFL, because quite frankly, we have to on the sports calendar. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time to crack open a pack as we welcome you to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network Money Moves. No, I do not mean a cigarette, okay? We're talking trading cards here, coming off of Fanatics Fan Fest this weekend. You give me those wide eyes, but I didn't think about that until I said it out loud. It's like, that kind of does sound like...
Yeah, like, as you said it, I'm like... I know the segment that we're about to do, too. And as you said it, I'm like, huh, man, crack open a pack. Interesting. Okay.
As somebody who's never smoked a cigarette before, I was like, okay, yeah, probably could have said that a little bit better. But we're going to have a lot of fun
here. We just became best friends, by the way. Me neither.
Really? Air 5 over the digital whatever. But this is a great segment concept by our producer, Brian Ortega, coming off of Fanatics Fan Fest this past weekend. So many different stars across the sporting world in attendance. Even Kevin Durant, as his trade gets publicly and officially announced, he's on stage when it all goes down. But so many of these guys out there. So we want to do this kind of trading card style in honor of the event. So for our TV audience, you'll see on the graphics there. But let's crack open a pack. And we're going to look at a handful of different NFL players and their potential season props. Travis Hunter, let's start here because newsworthiness, just signed his contract with Jacksonville, Keith. 4 years, $46.65 million, fully guaranteed, which includes a $30.57 million signing bonus paid up front. Not too shabby. First non-quarterback, not taken first overall to get his signing bonus entirely up front. And as you look at the player props, his regular season receiving yards at 725.5, which I believe is actually down from 750.5. His touchdowns number 4.5. Offensive rookie of the year, 10-1. Defensive rookie of the year, 12-1. And I want your opinion on this because for me, he is probably the most challenging player this year to actually make a projection for because he's going to play on both sides of the ball. We don't see that at the NFL level. And with that, we don't have the full understanding snaps-wise of what that's going to look like. I know at OTAs, he was primarily on that offensive side of the ball, but at minicamp this past week, he did a practice for the first time where he did both sides. What could that look like for him? And how do you view some of those numbers with that in mind?
It's a whole bag of I don't know, right? And that makes for terrible radio and hell of a terrible television. But we got to be honest with you. So until we see it, we won't know. I think he will be on both sides of the ball often. I think he's way too talented. My fear would be, you know, some sort of lingering injuries and getting banged up. The odds to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Rookie of the Year at plus 425 feels like a fantastic one, because if he focuses on one of these, he's going to win one of those. If he focuses on both, he might win one of those. So I like the odds there at plus 425. I would also throw out that at minimum, he will play a fair amount on offense. Over 4.5 touchdowns feels like a slam dunk to me.
Yeah.
He is, he's going to be a deep threat. He's going to be a guy that can, you know, catch the ball on a bubble screen and take it to the house. Give me the over 4.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think of these odds presented, the touchdowns is the most intriguing to me. The thing I personally struggle with the offensive defensive rookie of the year is if we had like just a general rookie of the year, it's a no-brainer. Travis Hunter would be the bet, right? But because there is that delineation, I just I struggle with it a little bit more because we don't know what that compliment is going to look like. And if there is another stud on one side of the ball or the other that comes out and is like, you can't say no to them. You can't turn them down.
Right, because let's say he is really, really, really good on both sides of the ball. And so the number said is, what, 725.5 receiving. Let's say he tops that and he gets 750 receiving yards because he's not playing every snap on offense, right? And let's say he gets 3 or 4 interceptions on the defensive side and things and a fair amount of tackles. Neither of those singularly will make him the rookie of the year on offense or defense. You're right. If it was a combination thing, it makes a lot more sense.
Let's go to Joe Burrow, who is probably the second most viral moment of the weekend next to Kevin Durant's trade announcement. The fact that he can't throw a baseball, apparently, which is stunning. But looking at his trading card, he is, of course, the reigning NFL passing leader with 4,918 yards. Also had the most passing touchdowns with 43 to just 9 interceptions. He is 5-1, the short shot to repeat for the most regular season pass yards. His total at 4,150.5, minus 120 to the over, to have 4,000-plus pass yards, minus 210, and so on and so forth. Anything stand out to you on his trading card?
Yes, because this for him is all about health. When Burrow is healthy, he is elite of elite. So in his healthy seasons for touchdowns, he has gone, I'm going to go backwards, 43, 35, 34 in his 3 fully healthy seasons. All of those would break this passing touchdown mark. I like it. Minus 115, not bad. How about his regular season passing yards? 4,150.5, so 4,200 yards, basically. You're looking at a guy who went over it last year. You gave the number, almost 5,000 yards. And then the other 2 healthy seasons, 4,475 and 4,611. Again, if you believe that Burrow is going to stay healthy, both of those are awesome plays. I don't know if I love the most regular season passing yards, because there are always, you know, there can be someone else that could swoop in there. It's not a bad, again, if you believe in health, not a bad play also.
Yeah. All of this is health related. You're 100%. You listed the numbers there, but over 4,400 yards, 3 of his 5 seasons, the 2 he did not hit those numbers. He only played 10 games due to injury. But you look at last year, MVP worthy season, even when you go through the advanced stats, he was the only quarterback who ranked top 10 in expected points added, success rate, and yards per attempt. Was also 3rd in accuracy and 1 in completion rate. But that's not an award you can give a player on a team that doesn't make the playoffs. So if he can play to
that caliber.
Well,
it's crazy, right?
Go ahead.
It's crazy, right? Because so 9 wins last year. If they win 11 games, we might have been having a different conversation whether it was Josh, Lamar, or Burrow as MVP.
It's 100%. And it's when you look at the MVP board, by the way, he is 3rd on the board behind Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Let's go to Josh Allen, the reigning league MVP. His player card has regular season pass yards set at 3,750.5, passing touchdowns 27.5, to have more than 4,000 pass yards, plus 155, the price that you're getting on that alt number, and to have the most regular season pass yards in the NFL, 16-1. We know he has that dual threat element of his game. He is a willing runner when the time comes, so the pass yards aren't always as high as some of these other guys. What do you make looking at some of these props?
No thank you on the pass yards, just too much variance there, not sure. No thank you on the 4,000 plus, not sure he gets there. regular season passing yards, clearly then I wouldn't be there if I don't think he's going to go for 4,000, because there will be at least one or two QBs that will go over 4,000, if not four or five QBs that do it. So let's go passing touchdowns. Over 27.5, minus 105, so basically even money there. Passing touchdowns during his career, last 5 years, 28, 29, 35, 36, and 37. All of those would break this mark. He will hit that again. I think this is as much of a given as, you know, Brian Ortega is cracking this pack for us.
And minus 105 on the over, too. Let's give a little running back love here, why don't we? The rookie, Ashton Jeanty, making his season debut with the Las Vegas Raiders this year. His regular season rush yards total set at 1,050.5. To just have 1,000-plus rushing yards, minus 185 the price. To go over 1,250, plus 200. Most regular season rushing yards in the NFL, 18-1. What we don't have on this graphic, however, are rushing touchdowns, Keith. And that's where I am much more interested in placing my funds on a player like him. JVT and I spoke about this last week. We're not sold on how good this offensive line is in Vegas yet. So touchdowns seem like the easier way to cash a ticket for somebody who we know is going to be the centerpiece of this offense, a head coach in Pete Carroll that's going to be predicated on running the ball when you look offensively. He's going to get the volume. He's capable of breaking off a run at any moment, sure, because he's got such good yards after contact. But when you get close to the goal line, 10 yards or closer, you're not going to give those carries to Raheem Mostert. You're going to go to Ashton Jeanty there. So if there were anything I was looking at Jeanty, it would be touchdowns. Did you have interest in any of his yards props?
All right. So cards on table, and I think you'll agree with me, I think there's PTSD with betting and with fantasy sports, and they go hand in hand. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not live up to the hype when he was coming out and a first-round pick, right? Bijan Robinson's rookie year wasn't the greatest. Jahmyr Gibbs's numbers, it took him a season to really get it going. Now, I think Ashton Jeanty will be given the ball and will be given the chance to run all he wants. I'm a little bit fearful of him. If the 1,000 regular season rushing yards wasn't minus 185 and that juicy, yeah, I'd probably go with that one. I'm probably just going to stay away from Jeanty. I also, like you and JVT, I'm not sold on the offensive line of the Raiders. I'd like to see a little bit more before I put my money into Jeanty.
Yeah, good but not great. The NFL is a little bit different than playing at Boise State in a Mountain West schedule. I love this player. I think he's fantastic. And when he did play high-level competition, he lived up to the moment. Oregon, I think, a great example of that last year. But the yardage is just, with that offensive line, I couldn't necessarily get on board. That said, 7-plus touchdowns for him, minus 140. 10-plus touchdowns if you want to go with the alt. And again, if we anticipate him getting those goal line touches, plus 260, the number. Reminder, too, while we're on the NFL, our NFL betting guide is going to drop in just over a week, July 1st, that date. And when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you can get our early bird football special for $175 right now. That gives you access to everything we do at VSiN. The betting guide, a part of that, as well as a preview to how to bet football from our guy, Josh Applebaum. You get a pre-order there. Oh, speaking of which, Applebaum's joining us next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're cruising on this Monday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Very excited to get into a little MLB action with our good friend Josh Applebaum, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the All Systems Go podcast, as you're gearing up for the NFL season as well. The author of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. When you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get the NFL Betting Guide. You also get a pre-order of Josh's book. And Josh, as we welcome you in here, I do have NFL on the brain a little bit. And last segment, we were talking about the Fanatics Fan Fest that was going on. And of course, Tom freaking Brady is the one that wins the contest, because the dude doesn't win enough things. And for you, somebody who's out there in the Northeast, I'm sure it was just another thing. You're like, of course, our guy just wins it all because it's what we do. So annoying. He continues to annoy people in retirement.
Stormy and Keith, great to be with you. So yeah, I think this just shows Tom Brady's just what drove him to be one of the best, or the greatest, I think we can say that at this point, NFL player of all time. His competitive spirit, the fact that he was kind of unheralded, you know, at Michigan, he had to battle for his spot. Obviously, he had to wait for Drew Bledsoe to get hurt to take over the Patriots. Again, everyone said he was too old, goes to the Bucs, wins a Super Bowl. That's pretty cool to me, just showing the drive of this guy that even though his playing career is over, this Fanatics Fest is really just for fun. he goes out there and wins a thing. And that to me is just the competitive spirit that made Brady the great player that he is. Also, shout out to Brady. He wins $1 million, but Stormy and Keith, he doesn't pocket that money. He gives it to people who participated. He spent the rest over to charity. So just another reason why I love Brady and will always love Brady. And I will never forgive Kraft and Belichick for kicking him out the door when he should have stayed with the Pats. Stormy and Keith, he only wanted 2 more years at $25 million. Think about that now. Should have paid that money. He should never have gone to Tampa. That's me talking as a Patriots fan.
Well, it was a silly move there, but I think, Josh, what you missed there was the fact, because I'm in the Northeast also, is that Stormy basically just said that you and I are winners. She equated you and I to Tom Brady. That's what I gathered. Basically, you, Josh Applebaum, and me, Keith Irizarry, Tom Brady, same person.
Hi, caramba. Oh, also,
pretty much the same, although not much winning, Stormy, I would say, in New England anymore. We're waiting for another. It's been a kind of a rough patch here the last few years.
Hey, I like the season win total over. It's a bounce back under Vrabel, baby. But one final thought, just to put a button on that, was when you were saying that, like, of course, he gives the contestants $5,000 each. He's donating the rest to charity. I'm like, okay, so he's a winner and he's annoying and he also has to be a good person. Come on. We don't need that. Can't we just hate him in peace? Neither here nor there. Let's get into a little MLB talk. Keith and I, a little bit earlier, were getting into the Braves-Mets game. We talked about that move we've seen toward Atlanta. What were the numbers telling you tonight?
Yeah, I like the Braves in this spot, Stormy, and this one really jumped out to me as kind of the first plays of the day that caught my eye. Let's kind of set this stage here tonight. You look at Spencer Schwellenbach going for Atlanta. He's been good this year, 5-4, 3.26 ERA. On the other hand, Pete Blackburn going for the Mets, 0-1, 6.92 ERA. He's only made a few starts coming off the injured list, but he's gotten roughed up in quite a few of them. To me, this is all about the line move, Stormy, as you mentioned. This game opened Braves as low as minus 125. You had the Mets around plus 105, and we didn't see, you know, the kind of the blind move go toward the Mets, you know, divisional dog at home, little plus money. No, it went to the Braves, who, again, have had a losing record all year, but in the spot for tonight, that's all we care about. We saw them open minus 125. They're up to as high as minus 145 now across the market. And what's notable to me as well is that the public is split down the middle. If you look at our VSiN.com splits at DraftKings, which is where I look to see where the public is, big national book overall, taking in the most recreational bets, it's 50-50. So the public doesn't know what to do. They probably say, yeah, Mets are struggling. Braves maybe should be favored based on the pitching matchup. Anytime I see a 50-50 split here, guys, yet you see a line move, that jumps out to me, because theoretically in a vacuum, if the tickets are even, there's no need to adjust the price. So even though it's 50-50, we've seen this line shoot up toward Atlanta. If you look at one system that caught my eye, if you're a road favorite off a loss who made the postseason the previous year, those teams this season are 68-39, 64% win rate, a 6% ROI. So this spot that the Braves are in has been pretty good this year. And you look at the last 10, Braves are 7-3. They're hitting .259. They have a 3.13 team ERA. The Mets are just 2-8, hitting only .220 with a 5.95 ERA. The Braves are 3-0 against the Mets this season. Hope that continues if you're playing them today. And also the Braves are 6-2 in Schwellenbach's last 8 starts. And then lastly, guys, this is a wise guy, wise gal system, Stormy, that I know you love. Fading teams who played on Sunday Night Baseball coming back the next day. You have the late game. Yep. It's kind of a late night. You know, I know it's not a huge travel spot, Philly back to New York, but typically those are the teams that you want to kind of bet against just because it's a tough turnaround. So I'll go Braves here today.
Yeah, I'm leaning Braves as well. I have an Austin Riley play, hits, runs, RBIs that I like. I was looking for Schwellenbach stuff, couldn't find any numbers or prices that I liked. But the Mets are struggling. The struggle is real. But I also think there's a regression to the means. I don't think they were as good as they were early. Clearly, their pitching staff was never going to be like that. All right, let's move to another game. Diamondbacks, White Sox, a game that you're looking at. I was thinking about a Miguel Vargas prop in this one. Do you have any players or a side that you like in this?
Yeah, Keith, just the regular side in this one. I'm going to go snakes in this matchup here. If you look at starting pitchers, we got Eduardo Rodriguez, 2-4, 5.93 ERA, but more on him in a second. He's actually pitched better as of late. He'll go against Shane Smith for the White Sox, 3-4, 2.85 ERA. But once again, trying to stay true to a line move here. You open Arizona, minus 130, pretty short chalk favorite on the road. White Sox around plus 110. And the movement has all been toward Arizona. Arizona's gotten steamed up minus 130 up to minus 140, minus 145. So right off the bat, 10 to 15 cents movement of adjustment in favor of Arizona. The splits look pretty good on the snakes here today, guys. Arizona's getting 80% of bets, nearly 90% of money at DraftKings. Then over at Circa, where you're at, Stormy, 86% of bets, over 95% of the money. So that's really circa split jumped out to me that a lot of big money out in the desert is playing Arizona. And then I got a lot of systems on the Arizona Diamondbacks here today. Road favorites off a loss, playing an opponent off a win, kind of just a buy low, sell high play. That's 101 and 61, 62% this year with a 7% ROI. If you're a sweet spot non-division road favorite between minus 135 and minus 160, which is where the Diamondbacks fall in this matchup, those teams are 43 and 23, 65% with a 10% ROI. And I think if you're playing Atlanta or you're playing the Diamondbacks here, obviously you want a good start out of Rodriguez. He's been better, 2.81 ERA in three June starts. He's only given up 5 runs in 16 innings pitched. But you also need Arizona to mash the ball, and their offense has been much better this year than Chicago. They're hitting 255, 110 home runs, 396 runs scored. White Sox, even though they just took 2 out of 3 at Toronto, which was kind of surprising, only hitting 221 on the year, 60 homers, 272 runs scored. Arizona is top 7 in baseball on the road hitting and against righties hitting this year. Chicago White Sox are really at the bottom of the barrel hitting at home and against left-handed pitchers. And we do have Arizona 6-4 their last 10 hitting 260. White Sox only 2-8 hitting 212. So I'm going to go with Arizona in this spot. Corbin Carroll, I'm waiting on him. I don't know, Keith, if you have any info on him, you get an MRI. I'd love to see him play today, even if he's not in the lineup. I'm going to go with this line move and take Arizona and lay this chalk price.
Last thing that I read was that he was likely to not play tonight, Corbin Carroll.
Okay. Makes sense. There you go. It has not been a kind month of June for the Minnesota Twins, and the market is hoping that continues today, apparently, because we saw the Mariners open minus 115. They're up to minus 132 in some spots with Brian Wu on the hill, Bailey Ober going for the Twins. Some total movement up as well from 8 to 8.5. Josh, what did you read into all of that movement?
Yeah, I'll continue to fade the White Sox and, or the Twins in this spot. And you mentioned the total, Stormy. Good eye by you. We have seen it go up 8 to 8.5. It is juiced up over. It's going to be like 85 degrees in Minnesota, and the wind is blowing out to direct center about 7 to 10 miles per hour. So looks like sharps really like that over 8 as soon as it got dropped and you were able to play it. I'll go Seattle for a couple of reasons. It's not just the fade of Minnesota, but I want to be with the smart money. It looks like it's pushing this number further towards Seattle. You mentioned the line move, Stormy. This was almost like a pick 'em at some shops. Very short, minus 115 Seattle. Now you're up to upwards of minus 130 at this point, so it's good movement just in general. It tells me smart money going with the Mariners. Seattle's getting around 2/3 of bets where you're at, Stormy, at Circa. So it tells me, again, we got some bigger money here in Vegas at a sharp book that doesn't reject smart money but accepts it, moving towards Seattle. Monday teams off a win with a line move in their favor. It's kind of a very simple system, but it's 65% this year with a 17% ROI. You mentioned Brian Wu, Stormy. He's been pretty good. He's given up 3 earned runs or less in 10 of his 14 starts this year. Bailey Ober's the opposite. In the month of June, he has an ERA of nearly 9. He's given up 16 runs in 17.1 innings pitched. Minnesota's 0-5 in his last 5 starts. And really just the slide of Minnesota. Remember, guys, what did they win? Like 15 in a row, or they're like 18-2? They had some crazy winning streak earlier. That's a ways away at this point. They're 1-9 their last 10. Seattle just took 2 of 3 and mashed at Wrigley Field. All late with Seattle. And by the way, Cal Raleigh is only plus 180 to hit a home run today. The guy's hit 5 homers in his last 5 games. So that's a juicy price, or not very juicy, but man, he's raking right now.
I get you plus 185. I just looked. BetMGM has the best odds for you for Raleigh. I like Rayleigh tonight as well, and maybe J-Rod, maybe a little Julio Rodriguez.
That's a good little tease, Keith, because we've got best bets coming up after this. Josh, awesome as always. Appreciate you. And hey, over the next 2 months, we're going to really need your insight. The sports calendar is barren, so we need lots of baseball, as much as we can get.
Got it. Maybe WNBA next week for me. Who knows?
Oh, hey, we'll see what you got. The line movement in the WNBA has been kind of crazy, honestly. Josh Applebaum, everybody, if you haven't already, make sure you check out the All Systems Go podcast. And another reminder, when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're also getting a pre-order to Josh's book, The NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. Don't go anywhere. We're back on Money Moves next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are wrapping up this Monday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us on SiriusXM Channel 158. Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you. If you missed any of the program today, remember you can always download us in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. Money Moves, VSiN. Also, got a new Instagram account, by the way, MoneyMoves_VSiN. If you want to give that a follow, chime in. We're posting clips daily, which, by the way, Keith, real quickly, people are very up in arms about an opinion I had last week on the show. We're just throwing out a couple random thoughts. And I said, why not Daniel Jones, comeback player of the year? The odds were 25 to 1 or higher. Just thinking about the situation that he's in Indy, Anthony Richardson already injured. But everybody's like, oh, comeback player. What's he coming back from, being bad? But I feel like it's a different situation than other players from coming back from being bad. Like when Joe Flacco came back from off the couch, like he dealt with a ton of injuries and was fully just given up on by his team. He had to go have a little bit of mental fortitude to be putting himself in a new spot. And if he has success, could he have a little Sam Darnold reincarnation moment?
So no, I don't think he will, but with that being said, you're not wrong with the concept. Comeback player of the year is the weirdest award ever. It's like, comeback from what? We don't ever, there's no clarity, the clarification to it. Like Joe Flacco, you're right, came back from being old. Like that's what it was. Right?
Tried to give more clarity after that because they were upset with Flacco winning and not DeMar Hamlin after everything that he went through on the field and everything. But I feel like that was like a 1 year, hey, let's remind you that these are some of our presumed criteria that we would like our voters to have more of an emphasis on. But I think that that was a unique circumstance coming out of that year.
Well, and I'm the comeback VSiN host of the week because I haven't been here in a week and a half. So I took a week and a half off. My comeback has been greater than most people would have expected. Yeah.
Well, and let's see if we can really put that to the test because, my friend, it is time for our best bets of the day presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And, guys, remember, the GBank First Bet and VSiN trifecta is popping off this month. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature Card. Your first 90 days from the account opening, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers a $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature Card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN finishes up the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription to $200 value. That's the trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank is how you can get more information and sign up. Again, VSiN.com/GBank. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. And you, my friend, are locked and loaded with props galore in MLB. Let's rehash a couple that you did give off the top of the show, and then we'll hit on a few more. But starting in Rangers Orioles, what do you like about Garcia today?
Adolis Garcia, we're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, -120. Very digestible price there. Trevor Rogers coming off a horrible outing. 2 1/3, 3 earned, 5 hits. Career versus Rogers. For Garcia, 3 for 6, a home run, a double. He's topped this prop in 2 of his last 3 games, 5 of his last 8 games. So we'll go Garcia, -120, hits, runs, RBIs, over 1.5. And again, if you're new to that style of baseball betting, because I know that there seemingly is something new added every single year. I remember breaking down what total bases were, how walks don't count, and anything once you're on a base doesn't count afterwards. Hits, runs, RBIs. I love this one. You don't get as much bang for your buck. The price is usually juicier, but if Adolis Garcia walks and then scores, and then if he were to have a sack fly, you win, and he didn't have a single hit.
I do love that you made that clarification because it is the most frustrating thing in the world when you have a total base prop and the walk doesn't count for you. And it's just, especially when you need it.
I still think they should adjust that.
I agree.
Matt Stryker and I, when we were hosting Better's Eye on MLB Network, we kept beating that over that, like trying to get MLB to change that. Like everyone, every book want everyone to change that. Bases should count after you get on the base, but then it wouldn't, I guess your number would change, right? Because then for someone like Shohei, it would never be over 1.5 total bases. It would all be 2.5 or even 3.5 maybe.
Correct. Or the price changes and shifts one way or another. 100%. Braves Mets, we just talked about this with Josh Applebaum a moment ago, but Schwellenbach and Blackburn on the hill here. Atlanta, we've seen a big move toward them as favorites, open around -120, now out to -145-ish, and there is another prop in this one that you like.
Austin Riley, again, hits, runs, RBIs. This one's a little bit juicier at minus 135. I think it might have actually moved to minus 140, so it's moving in the wrong direction for us, I guess. Four-game hitting streak. He's topped this in four consecutive games, the hits, the runs, the RBIs, and he's topped it in eight of his last 10 games. Against Blackburn, not a big ledger, but 2-for-3, two singles, and a walk. I won't waste a lot of time on the Braves since we did it already this hour, but Austin Riley, hits, runs, RBI.
All right, we were talking about it in a commercial break. You are double shifting it today with VSiN and SNY later on this evening. You're always dialed into all things New York. The Yankees finally got back on the right track a little bit over the weekend, won three of their last four. They're minus 126 road favorites against the Reds. Cincinnati available plus 104. The run total in this one, six. What do you like about Elly De La Cruz today, and how do you think this game might go?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a good one for the Yankees. I actually have a bad feeling for both the Yankees and the Mets, and my job tonight is going to be recapping both of these games. So, yay, thumbs up for me if they're losses. But anyway, Elly De La Cruz, we're going to go total bases here, minus 120. The hits, runs, RBIs was too juicy for me. Home run, I'm not into it. Back-to-back games with two or more bases, six of his last 10 games, and Alan Wynand's going to be on the bump for the Yankees. I don't know if he's going to be used more as an opener or if they'll let him go a little bit farther, but a below average starter in his career with an ERA of 7.2 in two seasons with the Atlanta Braves, getting his first start tonight. I think the Reds might mash him.
Okay, let's stick with the Northeast. The Boston Red Sox taking on the Angels today. Boston had a nice little run this month after dropping 2-3 to this Angels team earlier in the month, won 11 of their next 14 before dropping back-to-back games against the Giants. Of course, they trade Devers to San Francisco, and then San Francisco wins the series. Looking to today, Walker Buehler on the hill for Boston, 5-5, 5.95 ERA, taking on the Angels starter Jack Kochanowicz, 3-8, 5.38 ERA, so high ERAs, Angels third worst bullpen in the sport as well. Maybe an over game. I don't know. How are you playing it?
So I like the Red Sox to win tonight. So I think actually, and this wasn't one of the plays I sent over to you, but it was something I used to do back in the day, and it just popped in my head. You could take a look at the Red Sox team total, do something like Red Sox team total, 5.5, put it together with the money line, you'll get plus money. So some of the books offer that. It's worth taking a look at. Then I'll look at the youth movement there. I wanted to look at Meyer, but I'm not sold yet. Roman Anthony, something struck me here. He has scored a run in three consecutive games and four of his last six games. He's getting on base even despite the fact that he's not getting a lot of hits. So a singular run plus 110. You talked about Kochanowicz on the mound against him. He's given up two or more runs in six consecutive starts and then four or more runs in four of his last six starts. So Anthony plus 110 to score a run. I kind of like it.
I like that angle, and I'm with you on Boston today. I'm a little bit surprised that the market moved against them early. It has come back a little bit, though. They opened around minus 130, got down to as low as minus 114, but now we're kind of in that middle spot at minus 122. But I think that the team total over might actually be the better play because of what I said about the Angels pitching. I really do not trust it. Granted, they have been better lately, but Kochanowicz specifically, we mentioned that ERA. The bullpen is nothing to write home about either, so I might tail you on that. Red Sox team total over. I really like that approach. One more for you. Go ahead.
It would end up being 5.5, and if you believe they're going to win, put it together. So it would be Red Sox 5.5 and get the money line win.
We love a nice correlated play. Last one here to close us out, the nightcap. Nationals, Padres, where did you end up going in the prop market here?
I think there's going to be runs to be had in this one. There's going to be hits to had here as well. Fernando Tatis Jr. going to go over 1.5 total bases, plus 110. So I get my plus money there. He had a home run on Saturday. Mitchell Parker has given up 8 home runs in his last 6 starts. Parker's ERA is 4.59. So the safe bet is Tatis total bases. But let's not go safe on the first day back on money moves. Do it, sure. Also, we're going to play the home run, plus 375. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going yard. First day back on the show. You know I got to give you a good one there.
Keith Irizarry, comeback host of the year on VSiN, coming out guns a-blazing. We're firing. You'll love to see it. This is a very fun show. Like, this 2 hours went by super fast. Excited, guys. We're going to have Keith on with us most of the week, every day but tomorrow. Keith is going to be here with us on Money Moves. And by the way, even though we are done today, there's still so much more to come here on VSiN. We are recapping everything that went on in Game 7 last night, the Kevin Durant trade, and Prop Points has you covered after we get off of the air here. Nick Whalen is holding it down for them. Make It Rain with Adam Schein starts at 3 Eastern, and then Follow the Money, Mitch and Polly, 4 to 7, like they are every day. Good stuff, buddy. Enjoy SNY tonight. Hopefully you get a couple New York winners so that it's, you know, smiles.
Hoping.
Happiness for your show. We'll see you again on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Good luck with your bets.